So if you didn't know that we had Donna with us this morning, Donna Bloomfield has come from Burundi in Central Africa, and you are in for a treat to hear from her. I met Donna in Clarens, South Africa, and I think it was about 2016 or so, and met her there, and then relationship ensued from there through Regions Beyond, which was a group of churches that we were running around with at the time, and we got involved in Donna's ministry there in Burundi. And so it's been a few years since she's been here, but would you please give a warm Montana welcome to Donna Bloomfield as she comes up to share this morning? I stole your Bible.
You stole it. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be with you. And I'm so pleased that my Bible was here, because I'm like, how can I lose my Bible? And it was here all along. So, no, it's really wonderful to be with you. And I wanted to start by saying thank you so much, because you support me and you enable me to do what I'm doing in Africa. So thank you so much. And I hope that as I share today, you will see what you are part of, what God is doing right there in the heart of Africa. And a huge thanks also, as I know some of you also support what's happening in Burundi financially, and from we look at our bank statement and we're like, wow, money's coming from Mount Helena, and we've been praying in the funds, and we see that some of you have given. So just really a huge, enormous thanks. It's a wonderful answer to prayer, and you've been a channel of God's provision. So the photo there is of our church in Burundi, City Gate Church, which has been started as a result of all that God is doing. And I'm just going to take you through, really, and just share with you what God has been doing. I want to talk today about the transforming power of the gospel. Let's see if I can work the technology. Where do I need to point it?
Anywhere.
Am I doing something wrong? On, off. Hey, thank you. It's the simple things, you know. God uses the weak and the foolish, and I'm really a testimony to that, I can tell you. So I'll start with a story I wasn't planning on telling, but I had some friends who came and who spent the week with us, and at the end we were doing some feedback, and one of them, Clive, said, oh, this has been such a faith-building trip. And I'm like, great, that's amazing, tell me why. And he's like, because if God can use you, God can use anyone. So and that is true. So I've been living and working in the nation of Burundi, right in the heart of Africa there, for many years. And I want to start, though, today by just sharing with you the story of a particular community that used to be known as the Forgotten People, that I met first in 2014, had heard about this community that had been put on this piece of land, having been moved from another piece of land where they'd been held captive basically for more than a decade. And they'd been moved onto this piece of land. And as you can see in the photos, they were in desperate need. They were not allowed to leave. The site was patrolled by armed guards. They were living on what they could scavenge, or what people would hurl into the camp, because you were not allowed to go in and help them. They were accused of being rebels. They weren't, but they were accused of that. And so they'd been actually living as this destitute community for many, many years when I first came across them and heard that they'd been put on this piece of land. And you can just see there, it's absolutely horrific. There was no sanitation. There was no provision for them. They were living worse than animals, and it was overwhelming. These were the shelters that they'd managed to build from what they could get hold of. Some people had died of starvation when we first went to the camp. And the picture there is us taking in food on the very first time that we went. We were told that we'd be arrested, that we weren't allowed to help this community, but there was just such a strong sense that God had sent us there. And so we were able to provide food, which at that point came through the Regions Beyond group of churches that JR just mentioned when we'd taken up an appeal, and we were able to send in the food. But it was bleak. And of course, people were grateful for the food, but really, it was so difficult because I would share on God's heart for the poor, and particularly the verse that's up there. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, and he seats them with the princes of his people. And yet inside, I would be saying, God, are you who you say you are? Because if you are, this is not okay. And I know, of course, there's suffering all around the world. But in that camp, with those people that have now become our friends and faced with their suffering and without any way that they could ever escape from there or leave, it was like, what future and what hope did they have? And yet we do believe that Jesus is the hope. But in those days, I would be on my knees and I'd be like, Lord, this is not okay. You have to do something. You have to do something. You have to intervene. And I would cry out. And as I would leave, people would pull at my clothes and they would beg me to help them. And I'd be like, I don't know what to do. Yes, we sent food for a while and then the money ran out. And then what do? You pray. And we prayed. And I'd say to them, don't look to me. Don't look to the white person. I don't have the resources to be able to feed everybody every month. It was $5,000 at those times just to provide maize and beans. But we saw the provision of God. Every single month, somehow, money came in that would provide food. But still, look at those faces. It was bleak. And it was like, what's happening, God? And again, if you're who you say you are, something has to change. But it did. And God began to speak to me and God began to say, you know, just love people. You're not their answer. I'm their answer, but I want you to love them because we have the privilege of being the hands and the feet and the arms of Jesus. We get to represent God, don't we? We're image bearers. And in those days when it was just overwhelming and it was like, you know, it didn't feel enough to provide just food, and God would say, love. And I would ask myself the question, I would be like, what does love look like? It sounds great, but what does it look like in reality? And God took me to his word, and these will be passages that you're familiar with that I just want to read a few verses from Isaiah 58, often known as the true fast. And it says from verse 6, is not this the fast I chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. And God would challenge me, you know, it's what me personally, what I have to do. And I got to be a voice really for this community. But, you know, God would be, you don't just ask others, you give of yourself. You know, we're not about projects, we're about people. And we want God to do a work in us, that we're genuine and we're authentic and that I wouldn't turn away from my own flesh and blood. And then we, you know, just looked at, in answer to this question, what does love look like? Yeah, it looks like praying for people sometimes, praying for them to be delivered, praying for them to be healed and set free, praying for them to come to know Jesus. The lady in the top there, in the yellow top, her name's Odette, and she was in a community that we met at the same time as this community here, and that community got wiped out by flooding and landslides, and she lost 5 of her 6 children. And she only managed to survive because she'd gone out of the house, the little mud house, to collect water with her daughter, and they were saved, and the rest of her five children were just washed away. And it's like, what do you do when you meet somebody like that? How do you show Jesus to them? And all I could do was hug her and hold her, and it's her in the bottom picture as well. But it meant something. We get to have the privilege of comforting those who mourn, and again, being those arms. And, you know, I'm not here today to big up Burundi. You know, not everybody's called to another nation, but wherever we are, we all get to be able to love those around us, and we're surrounded by brokenness and hopelessness, and actually just to be able to be with somebody in their pain makes a difference, and it shows them the heart of God. And I got to understand that more and more in those days. And we would visit people in those shacks, and they would say, I feel like I've come to know who God is. I feel like I've come to know God, who God is. And you're like, wow, all I've done is gone and sit with them. And yet somehow God comes through and God draws close to them, which is just such an amazing privilege. But what does love look like? It also looks like helping practically. So we started to buy milk to send in for the hundreds of children that were in the camp, and give them a better source of nutrition. We still do that to this day. We sent in materials so that they could have better shelters, which helped them. And we continue to provide food, as I say, by trusting in God and praying in God's provision and seeing that God can do what we can't do. We don't need a big bank account to do the purposes of God. Yes, everything takes money, but God is our provider, and we saw him provide phenomenally through those days in the camp. And then the other thing in those days that God would really speak to me is the verses from Isaiah 61. And again, I'm sure you know these well, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's this is the verses that Jesus spoke about himself at the start of his public ministry, which are quoted in Luke 4. And this is what Jesus came to do. It's the kingdom mandate, and it's our mandate too, isn't it? That we are in Christ, that we have this mandate on us to bring transformation wherever we are, that we're anointed, that God has called us to bring in his kingdom. And this passage began to give me real hope, because it talks about the change that will happen, and the turnaround, and hope was beginning to rise. And I was beginning to think, wow, yeah, God has anointed me. The one whose friends say, if God can use you, God can use anyone. And it's true. We don't have to be all super spiritual and have it all together. In fact, that's probably going to more disqualify us than qualify us, because God loves it that we come to him in dependence and weakness, and that we don't need all the answers, but that we come to him as Father God, who is the answer, but that we get to represent him. And these were the things that God is still continuing to teach me, but very much in those days brought to my attention. And then suddenly, after 3.5 years of being in that particular camp, and our friends there saying to us, can you help us get out? And thinking, I don't know how to do that. We didn't have any answers, but we're like, come on, let's pray. And the camp one day was suddenly destroyed. The government came, they destroyed all of those shacks. They arrested some of the people, including a guy that we'd paid to be in a teacher, just in a tent made of tarpaulins just to give the kids some kind of education. They arrested him and put him in the cell for a few days. It was horrendous at the time, but what it did was it gave our friends their freedom from that camp. They weren't free from poverty, but they were free from the camp, and it gave us the opportunity to start doing things differently. They had been dependent on us taking in food and provision for them. And people would say to me in those days, you shouldn't be creating dependence. And I'm like, what are we supposed to do? They can't go out. They can't fend for themselves. But it's not a dependency on me. It's a dependency on God. $5,000 every single month for 3.5 years is phenomenal. You know, it's just amazing that God came and provided. But then he gave us a way where we could move away from them having to receive aid in that way, where they could start to work towards feeding themselves. And we began to teach them something called Foundations for Farming, that is previously known as Farming God's Way. And this man in the blue shirt, his name is Brian Aldreve. He's a Zimbabwean, and he pioneered this way of farming. He humbled himself before God and he said, God, if you will show me your ways in farming, how you intended things to be in nature, I will implement them, and I will do it in your way. And he was a commercial farmer who was beginning to go bankrupt because the soil was degrading and the yields were getting lower. And he cried out to God, and God began to reveal to him scriptures and also his ways in nature. And so Brian implemented those, and within a few short seasons was getting double the yield, then 5 times the normal yield, then an average of 10 times the normal yield in Zimbabwe. And I'd had the privilege of meeting him and working with him in Zimbabwe. It's how I came to know about Foundations for Farming. And so I was like, okay, now we've got the opportunity. Our friends are out of the camp. Let's start teaching them. And so we did. First of all, just in a group of 20 people, how to use the land in the way that God intended, with growing maize. And the results were phenomenal. And we could see hope beginning to rise and dignity coming back as our friends were having hope. Wow, we now get to learn something. We can feed our families. There was hope rising, and our very first harvest was 10 times the average yield in Burundi at that time. Yeah, amen. The difference when we humble ourselves and do things in God's ways. And it was just staggering. And as we gathered on the field side, the lady here pictured in the glasses, her name is Jean-Vierre. And with Foundations for Farming, you teach about who God is in each lesson. You teach about the nature of God. And we'd gathered everybody for the training that morning. And then somebody came and got me and they said, oh, you know, Jean-Vierre's sick. And can we pray for her? So we prayed for her. And she started manifesting a demon. And so she's writhing around on the side of the field, and we're like, whoa, you know? I had encountered this kind of thing before, but I wasn't expecting to encounter that on that field side that morning. But do you know what? She was delivered after about 2 hours. She was completely at peace. She was physically healed. She gave her life to Jesus, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit all in the same morning. Yeah, amen. And it really, really stirred me because I thought, isn't that what we read about in the pages of our Bibles and the New Testament? And I began to think, why are we surprised? Why was I surprised that God would meet with somebody on the field side? And it began to really excite me, and I began to think, aha, now I feel like we're just beginning to touch on what I read in my Bible. And when I was with JR and family yesterday, we were just talking about, you know, how amazing our God is. But my experience of church I had not seen the God that I read about in my Bible. And I was hungry for that reality. And suddenly, on that field side that day, we saw God break in and what was possible. And it really caused my faith to rise, and it really caused me to say, come on, Lord, let's see more. And that's Jean-Vierre now with her family and her husband, really looking completely different. She was one of those people, you could see the physical change in her eyes that day as she met with Jesus. And so We began to gather on the field side with the expectation that God would encounter us every time we gathered for farming. And we had over 180 people saved in the last couple of years or so through meeting on the field side, learning how to farm and learning who God is. And we started what we called Field Church. And we were not allowed to meet in a building. We're registered as a church, but for lots of reasons, we were not allowed to meet. But, you know, we didn't need a building. What we needed was Jesus, and he would come and still does powerfully meet with us on the field side and saving people and delivering people and healing people and just having beautiful times of worship. And I'm hoping that now you're just going to get a little clip of our field side worship. Yeah, amen. And that drum you could hear was a bucket. We didn't have a drum, we used a bucket. But, you know, I love the rawness and the authenticity of what we were beginning to see God do among us. And then we continued with the farming, and we continued to implement things that others who'd gone before us, like in Zimbabwe and elsewhere, had discovered. And this is one of the most amazing things that we believe has the power to really transform Burundi. So this little plot here, it's called a Fumvutsa plot. It's very tiny, 1/16th of a hectare, and it's enough for a family to feed themselves from for a whole year when they implement God's ways in farming, when they implement what they've learned. And normally what a farmer in Burundi would need to be able to feed themselves is 32 times what you're seeing there, that little plot, to feed their family. So actually we're getting 32 times the national yield by doing things God's ways. Isn't that amazing? Yes, amen. I'm liking the African kind of vibe of the people calling out and clapping. I wasn't expecting that. We're so used to it in Africa. So, yeah, well done, guys. But it is phenomenal. And this isn't because we've been clever. None of us on our team are farmers. We knew nothing about agriculture, but we sent some people to Zimbabwe to learn. We brought some people to us to help us implement it in Burundi. And we've taken it on and we try to be as faithful as we possibly can. And in Burundi, Burundi is tiny. It's got about 13 million people. And there's not enough land for people to sustain themselves from. As I was coming here and enjoying your beautiful scenery, I was just staggered by the space. But Burundi is completely the opposite. It's one of the most densely populated nations in sub-Saharan Africa. It's currently the poorest nation in the world, and it's the hungriest nation in the world because people don't have enough land to sustain themselves from. And yet this can feed a family on a tiny plot of land that only needs them to manage it for one day. So if they can find other work, they can work on the other days and have a bit of an income. But this will provide their food source. And so we taught all of the families from the camp that stayed with us this way of farming. And the yields are just incredible. And people, as I said before, hope was rising, but people were looking on from around and were seeing people, like this is just taken just a few weeks ago. This is them taking away their harvest. It's not even all of their harvest. But people, these are the people that were called the tent people, that were spat at, that were persecuted, that are now being watched, having to hire a bike to transport their harvest. And the neighbours are saying, what is this? Is the Muzungu, the white lady, is she giving you something to put in the soil? It's like, no, of course not. This is us learning how to do things in God's ways. And God's ways really do work, when we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, show us how you design things to be. And now they're hiring bikes and getting 800 kilos of maize from this tiny, tiny piece of land that will feed them even for more than a year. And it's just phenomenal. And it isn't just about God giving them food. It's about them meeting the God who is who he says he is. And it's about other people seeing God's ways on display. And this is his kingdom coming, isn't it? The rule and reign of God coming, in this instance, in farming. Learning to do the way things in the way that God wanted, and it's yielding the most incredible results. And then we've seen God putting our friends at the forefront of actually taking this to the nation, and we're just seeing God open up doors, and we see people coming. We've got now got three sites where we've got demonstration plots where they can come at any time and see these from Woodsor plots and the other plots that we're trialing. We're working on vegetables God's way at the moment. And people come from all around the nation, and even from other nations. We've even had people come from Ethiopia and Congo because they've heard. And this is happening in many nations around the world, but for Burundi, this is new. And people coming, and now we run a training week. We've rented a building so that we can host people and bring them in, and they can come and learn from around the nation. And we put up a banner saying, we can teach you how to feed your family. And this is a ministry of our church, and a church full of the people that were broken and that were despised and that were rejected and that had no hope. And God has given them hope, and he's saving them and he's changing their lives, but he's also using them and putting them at the forefront of what he's doing in their nation. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that God's heart? You know, when it says in Psalm 113 that he will seat people with princes, you know, we're seeing that happen now. And this, the man in the top there with his hands wide open, his name's Jalaz, he's from the Ministry of Agriculture, and he came to look at our crops, and he declared them a miracle. And he's not a believer. And he said, you have to share this with the nation. And then the man there in the jacket, the big guy, we had a divine encounter. Marungwa, who's our lead trainer, pictured there. He's also my adopted son. We'd been at a conference in South Africa last year. And we were coming back through Kenya. And we were in transit in Nairobi Airport. And Marungwa had a caterpillar on his lettuce. And so I was like, this is no good. We have to complain. It's not okay, you know, kind of thing. And making a bit of a song and dance about it. And we ended up complaining to the lady that was head of Kenya Airways customer care. And she upgraded us on our flight because of this caterpillar on the flight back to Burundi. And we ended up sitting next to this, or I ended up sitting next to this big guy. And I made a real fool of myself again because I couldn't get the table out. And this man basically turned around to me and was like, excuse me, who are you? Like this, because I was making such a... I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not really used to this kind of thing. I'm much more at home with the poor. And he said, what do you do? And I told him that we're a church and we're teaching farming and people how to feed themselves. And he was really interested, and he asked loads and loads of questions, and then he asked to see photos, and I showed him pictures on my phone. And then I said, do you mind if I ask who you are and what you do? And he told me his name. And he said, I'm a member of parliament for the East African Community Nations, and my job is to find a solution to the food crisis in East Africa. Yeah. And he's like, I think I've just heard it. He said, we've searched everywhere and we've found nothing. Can I come and visit your fields? And this is him on the fields hearing about God's ways. He's not a believer, but he's sending some of his colleagues and him to our training this year, so that they can learn. And when he was with us, he said, I don't think this is even just the answer for East Africa. I think this is the answer for Africa. I mean, amazing, because we had a caterpillar on a piece of lettuce. And I got stroppy about it. And it's like, yeah, you know, God has his ways of doing things. And we've had loads of leaders and influential people coming, and they can just see the difference. Burundi is full of hypocrisy. Everybody will quote scripture and will say, you know, we trust in God, but actually there's not a lot of genuine faith there. But because people can see the results in the farming, They're beginning to see that there is an answer, and they're also seeing the one who is the answer, Jesus. And this here, again, that verse, this man with the T-shirt on that says hope, he was special advisor to the president for 18 years until February last year, when God spoke to him and told him to resign and to go into farming. And we met him. We've been in a crisis situation with somebody that turned against us and has created no end of trouble for us. And we got to know this man. His name is Albert. And he's standing there with two of our poorest of poor ladies that are feeding themselves through Foundations for Farming. And he came on our training and learned from them. They trained him on the field side and have taught him how to fulfill the vision that God has given him. And now he's come to us and he said, okay, let's roll this out across the nation. And he's got the contact, special advisor to the president for 18 years, well-respected, a godly man. Isn't that amazing? It is incredible what God is doing. I need to hurry up. We are about heart transformation. And as I've said, we're not about projects, we're about people. And we love that God is providing for people and raising them up. But, you know, like you, we want to see hearts being transformed. We want to see lives being transformed. And we visit people in their homes and we disciple people and we pray with one another and the things that you would do here. And we give access to the word of God. 80% of our community are illiterate. So, you know, we do provide Bibles, but for most people that's no good. So we provide audio Bibles with a translation of the Bible in Kirundi that they can listen to, and they're solar powered because our friends don't have electricity. And so giving people access to the word of God and making sure that they know scripture, that they know what God says for themselves. And we continue to support our community. They're out of the camp. They're now feeding themselves, but they're still poor. And so at the moment, we're putting children in school so that they have the opportunity to get an education. We pay for medical care. We continue to provide porridge to the children and clothing and rent for those that can't afford to rent a home, which is most of our community actually at the moment. And so we still continue to try to display the heart of God practically as well as spiritually. And then just coming to a close now, this is our most recent initiative called Rebuild Restore, which God spoke to us about. And those pictures there are showing the current living conditions of our families, who most of whom are living in a single room, often a mud room, sometimes it's brick, it's part of a house that's being built, and they're basically squatting and living in one room where they eat and sleep and cook over a charcoal burner. And it's horrendous. It's marginally better than the camp, but not a lot. And 2 years ago, God spoke to us and said, I want to rebuild and restore. I want to give back to all of those families what they had taken from them. They had land. They had little shelters that were destroyed when they were first put into captivity. And the heart of God is like, no, this is not okay. I am a God who will restore and who will give back and who will redeem and who will turn around. And so he asked us, will you trust me to provide land and homes for every single family? And we're like, yes, Lord, come on, do it, do it. And he is. And he's provided. And we've just been building 19 houses. We've got a lot more to go. We've got 179 that we need to do, but we've just had funding for 19 and we've just finished building. Look at this from where they came from. This is the heart of God on display. Isn't it amazing? They've actually got homes with different rooms in. We've had so much incest, so much abuse because of everybody being in the same room. Our ladies being raped at night because they've only been sleeping behind a curtain. And now they're beginning to get homes where they've got a lock on the door that represents the heart of God, that they would have not only shelter, but a place of refuge and a place of safety and security. This is who our God is. And dignity, this shows what they were using for a toilet, and now we've got purpose-built latrines outside. They're not a hole in the ground because the water table in this area is so high we've had to build them above, but they've got somewhere that's private and that they can use. And this is a view of our site, just taken on the day before I left last week, of the 18 houses now finished, and we've just communicated with the community, and there's another house in another area as well, and families about to move in because of who God is. God is amazing. And those years ago when I said, God, are you who you say you are? And he says, yes, take me at my word. Just watch and see what I will do. And you don't need to be clever, and you don't need to be wise, and you don't need to have all the money. You need to trust me and depend on me and do what I say and just be faithful with what I give you and be available. And that's what we've been seeking to do as a team, and we've got a long way to go. But I hope that you've been able to see that the transforming power of the gospel really is very much at work. And then this is just to end on, just a clip of worship. We're not allowed to meet on a Sunday. The government has closed us down at the moment. So we have a community meeting on a Saturday. And we worship and we kind of get around it that way. We still meet on the fields as well. But this is us just worshiping again, just before I came this time. And this is the same community that you saw in those pictures. And, you know, this, I love this because it reminds me of Isaiah 61, you know, and a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And so there's just a snippet of our worship. And that song just declares how wonderful our God is and that he is who he says he is. And thank you again for supporting me, helping me to be able to be in Burundi, to be involved in what God's doing. Thank you again for your generosity to all of those who've given to enable this work to continue. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you for having me today. I really hope God has just encouraged you, and I wonder if I could just pray for you. That's okay. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that you really are who you say you are. And Lord, forgive us when we just don't trust you. Forgive us when we make judgments because you don't do things in the way that we want you to, and then we draw the conclusion that you're not good or you're not powerful. But Lord, we just come today and we say, as we sang earlier, you are worthy. You're worthy of it all. Lord, we're here for your glory. And wherever we are, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. And Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful community here, Lord. And Lord, I pray your blessing on each and every person. Lord, I pray for faith to rise here today, for hope to rise, Lord, for those that have been discouraged and disillusioned. Lord, that you would come and you would do here, Lord, what you've done in me and in the friends of, in the hearts of our friends in Burundi, where you've been like, no, I am who I say I am. Just see what I will do. And Lord, I pray that this church would continue to bear much fruit, Lord God. Lord, I pray that there would be so many testimonies, Lord, of lives transformed and of people putting their hope and trust in you. Lord, of each and every person, Lord, here, knowing that they are valuable, Lord God, that they matter to you. And Lord, that you will use them right where you've placed them, Lord. Lord, that they have the power and the ability to represent you, Lord, because of who you are and your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, we thank you that you chose us. Lord, thank you that you use the weak and the foolish. Lord, thank you that you are who you say you are. Pour out your Spirit afresh here today, I pray, Lord God. Lord, protect your people here. Bless them mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.